through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Joining us now, it's Rick Riz, this hour of Jake and Stacy, brought to you by the Pro Club, by the way. Rick, first of all, how are you? Are you still out in Peoria?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Spring training is winding down, Stacy and Jake. Finally, the weather's starting to get nice the last couple of days. But, I'm here at my home and spending about 6 weeks here. Can't wait to get back to my house, though, in Issaquah and get the season underway. I think it's going to be an exciting year and a fun year for the fans as well.
Now, Rick, you're kind of in the dog days. You've been doing this, you know, for the last couple of weeks, but how much of a different feel is it to be there, to be a part of it, knowing that you weren't able to do it a season ago? How good does it feel?
Oh, man, Jake, it feels so well. It feels so great because, you know, you feel like you're getting back to normal. You know, we're having spring training. We're going to have a full season, a full slate of 162 games. There's still restrictions, you know, and we understand that. We need to do that. We need to stay healthy and safe all year long to really get through this. But just by watching games and by having the biggest thing, Jake and Stacey, is having fans at the ballpark. It's nice to have looked down there and see about 2,000 fans, you know, at the Peoria Sports Complex. You get that reaction from the fans. You can hear that background noise. It makes you feel like you're at the ballpark. You can see it on the radio, feel it on the radio. They have 9,000 fans be there on opening night at T-Mobile Park. That's the biggest thing. But, yeah, slowly but surely we're getting back to normal, and baseball is back. And so I'm really happy about that. I know the fans are too.
Yeah, we're doing this thing where fans, a winning fan, would get to open the gates to the park. And I've been talking about it like it's this huge kind of symbolic thing too, because I can only imagine, obviously you've been doing this and every season I'm sure has had its own kind of distinct flavor. Last year must have been, I would imagine, the hardest.
It really was, Stacy, because the hardest part about the whole season was not knowing when you were going to start, not knowing if you were even going to have a season. And then we get started and a week into it, the Marlins have 17 players test positive, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, are we going to get through this year if we lose a ball club? What does that do to the schedule? What does that do for the game of baseball? But they got through it. It was incredible what the Marlins did. They ended up getting to the playoffs, so there is hope. And now with the vaccines being out as much as they are, you need a vaccine now at the age of 16 and up now down here in Arizona, with people getting vaccinated, I think it's really going to open up the situation for restaurants, everything, for baseball and sports. So, yeah, last year was very difficult, but the hardest part was just not knowing when we were going to get underway, not knowing if we could even get to the finish line. So you run in this race not knowing what's really on the other side, but they made it. You know, we made it to the postseason. We had a postseason. So last year was an incredible year and a very difficult time for all of us in our lives.
Now, Rick, one of the exciting things is obviously getting back in that sense of normalcy, but it's also you getting to watch these young players play and getting to see this organization take the transitional steps from a rebuild, a teardown, to now actually building up and now getting into this next phase where you're going to be competitive, you're going to be in a division where things are looking good for the Mariners as of right now. What excites you the most about this team?
The kids and the youth and the talent of these young players, Jake and Stacy. I was all in when Jerry decided to make the switch and really go for it and go young. As you know, about 3 years ago, the Mariners had one of the worst farm systems in all of baseball. We had one guy in the top 100. That was Kyle Lewis. And he was coming back from a severe knee injury. And then Jerry makes the trade for Sheffield, coming over from the Yankees, and the trade for James Paxton, who, by the way, is now, as everybody knows, is back. And that really got the ball rolling. And then it was one great trade after another, continuing into last year at the end of August when Jerry pulled off the trade with the San Diego Padres to acquire Ty France. You're going to love this guy. You saw him last year, the last month of the season, along with Terrence and another top prospect and Taylor Trammell and another top prospect and a pitcher, Andrés Muñoz. So We went from one of the worst farm systems in baseball to one of the best, number two, and now number three. And these kids are the real deal. We saw Kyle Lewis get up to the big leagues in September 2 years ago and hit home runs in six of his first 10 games of the big leagues. And last year, he was the unanimous choice for the American League Rookie of the Year. We watched Evan White win a gold glove over there at first base, and J.B. Crawford win a gold glove at shortstop. We saw Sheffield and Dunn make really big strides in the starting rotation. Wait till you see the next wave of kids that are on their way. You know, Jared Kelnick and Cal Raleigh and Logan Gilbert and Brandon Williamson and Emerson Hancock and Noelvi Marte and on and on and on. That's what excites me about this organization, is what Jerry has done, really loading up with the talented young players here. And there's going to be one wave right after another, and we're going to get to the playoffs real, real soon with this core group of guys. And it's also great to see the veterans back. You know, they really missed Mitch Haniger last year, all last season, and also Tom Murphy. Haniger's in great shape, having a great spring. Tom Murphy is healthy, so I'm excited for a fun year. But, Jake, you know, just watching these kids play and play so well excites me more than anything right now with this organization.
Now, we don't have to even tell you guys or remind you guys who you're listening to. Joining us on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline, it's the voice of the Seattle Mariners, Rick Riz. Rick, this is kind of a related question to what you were just talking about, but is there any one particular player, and if you have a hard time narrowing it down, I will accept more than one, but is there one or two particular players where you think, you know what, I've been watching this guy in Cactus League play, and I know that some fans are tuning into spring training too, but I can't wait for fans to get this really cool surprise, like just kind of a wait till you see him at T-Mobile kind of guy.
Yeah, you're right. It's hard to point to one guy, but I have been so impressed with Jared Kelnick, who Jerry acquired a few years ago in that big trade from the Mets for Robbie Cano and Edwin Diaz. This kid is the real deal. You know, he was, unfortunately, he got hurt early in the spring on March the 3rd or 4th and missed about 10 games. I mean, he looks like a ball player, walks like a ball player, and hits a baseball like a ball player, and he could do everything. I mean, he has a great idea of the strike zone. He got a walk a couple of nights ago and then went to third on a base hit. And then when the throw skipped on by the third baseman, no hesitation, he got up and he scored a run. He produced a run with his savvy on the baseball field and with his speed. But the kid can just jettison a baseball out of the ballpark as well as anybody. He can play defense. And the fans are really going to love watching Jared Kelnick whenever he gets to big leagues. That's going to be up to, you know, Jerry DePoto and Scott Service and the people much higher pay grade than I am. But you're going to love this kid and Julio Rodriguez as well. But a guy that really stood out for me last year when he came over from the Padres and also this spring has been Ty France. The guy just knows how to hit and hits the ball hard. He learned from one of the greatest hitters of all time, Tony Gwynn, when he was at San Diego State. Tony Gwynn was his head baseball coach. And I think the fans are going to love watching him play, you know, every day. But there's just, I could go on and on and on, you know, but the people and the players that the fans are going to be excited to watch. But that's just a few of the guys that stand out right now. And there's many, many others I've seen too.
Rick, there is nothing more thrilling than listening to you call a home run, double, triple, getting the ball out into the, you know, hitting the ball on, hitting the bat on the ball. But how about these pitchers? And that's the other thing that I can't wait to hear you call this season is some strikeouts and some quality pitches coming in from these guys. It seems like this group is much, much improved from a year before. What have you seen?
Yeah, James Paxton is back with the organization, and man, he's going to give us that stability and innings and starts. When he's healthy, he's one of the best pitchers in the American League. You know, he proved that when he was with us. He had the no-hitter in Toronto against the Blue Jays, a Canadian kid throwing a no-hitter in Canada to compliment, I think, one of the best pitchers in all of baseball when you talk about Marco Gonzalez. He just knows how to pitch, and at 88, 89 miles an hour, he reminds me of Jamie Moyer, you know, because he can locate his fastball, use all four or five of his other pitches that he throws, and he's just one of the best. He doesn't walk anybody. He doesn't beat himself. But then you're going to see, you know, Justice Sheffield, I think, make a huge stride in that starting rotation. He pitched very well last year. There were times where Justin Dunn had a stretch of three starts in a row where he was one of the best pitchers in the league. He went six scoreless innings, gave up one hit twice in back-to-back games. He had a little bit of a bump in the road in last night's ball game, but the kid's a quick learner. Chris Flexen comes over from Korea. He was up and down for 3 years with the Mets, but he had an outstanding performance a couple of nights ago where he had five scoreless innings. So, you know, I'm really, really excited. So it's going to be between Dunn and Nick Margavichus, who's pitched well for the number six spot in the rotation. So I'm real pleased with the guys there. And there were a lot of spots up for grabs in the bullpen, and guys just went out and grabbed them. You know, I think you're going to like Rafael Montero, who was his closer last year for the Texas Rangers. He had eight saves in eight opportunities, and he's been nothing but outstanding, especially his last two or three outings. So Scott said he's going to be very comfortable handing the ball to him to get the final three outs of a ball game. Hopefully he does it a whole bunch in April. And Keenan Middleton is coming around, another year removed from Tommy John surgery. You have Kendall Graben, who was in the rotation last year, but then had that benign tumor in his neck. That's fine, and now he's throwing 97-98 down to the bullpen. Anthony Misevich, one of the few lefties down there, has been outstanding as well. And they got some really good arms, and Will Vest, and also Eric Swanson, and Casey Sadler. They've all pitched very, very well. So I think it's really, really coming around. Aaron Fletcher as well. So there's some great arms down there, and I'm really, really excited about this team and what they can accomplish this year.
Now, Rick, I am but a mortal radio voice, very inexperienced, with really no say or clout to make any suggestion. But have you ever considered taking fun suggestions for some calls? Because I've been trying to get Meghan Markle worked into something, and I know that the Mariners are playing the Royals in August. So I'm just putting it out there. If you want to do, like, hey, call a Meghan Markle because they just sent the Royals packing, or just something, you know, just if you want to workshop it with me. Let
Rick,
me know. I'm here for all
Rick,
kinds
I
of
apologize.
No, Rick, I'm here for all kinds of creative calls. You know, Jake and I will be at the park. If you ever need to pull us aside and just say, guys, I'm workshopping this joke about
Royals.
They get a home run here. I don't know, Rick. I'm just putting it out there.
I kind of like it. Yeah, why don't you jot down a few, and I'll warn people that they could be coming during the broadcast so they know it's not mine. So I want you to get 100% credit, Stacey, okay?
Thanks,
I don't want anybody writing a paper call in or on Twitter go, what the hell is he talking about?
What is you Rick know? Doing?
This is from Stacey. Stacey made me do it. But, yeah, you want to jot down a couple of ones,
Rick,
that we can
you
do
got
on
it.
The radio. I promise you, Stacey, I will do it, and I promise you, you will get total
this
credit.
This is my dream. Okay, I do have a couple right. real questions here. So I'll start with
okay.
Evan White. Moving on, Jake. I'm moving on. Evan White, a guy obviously amazing on defense, and he wasn't, like, bad at the plate. I think the idea, though, is, like, that's where they want to see the most growth. So I was actually curious from just, like, a baseball mind, I was wondering how you particularly are going to measure his success, because I'm sure it goes so much farther than just average, right? I'm sure there are particular things you're going to be looking at with him. What are some of those?
Yeah. What I saw the other night, Stacey, was the process working with Evan. He really had a difficult time last year offensively, and who wouldn't? This is a kid coming from AA to the big leagues last year. It's not easy to get here and to stay here. His glove got him here. He's one of the best defensive first basemen I've ever seen. You know, as a freshman, as a rookie in the leagues, you know, he won a gold glove, and that just doesn't happen. The offense is going to be there because we saw it down in the minor leagues. He had .293 with 18 home runs and 55 RBIs a couple of years ago at AA Arkansas. But Stacey, what I saw the other day is the process that works for this kid. When he hits the ball, it goes a long way. He has some of the best exit velocity. But what I want him to see him do, and so does our hitting coaches, Tim Laker and Jared DeHart and Scott Service, our manager, you got to make more contact, you know, in this game. You got to put the ball in play, and he is going to do that. What I saw a couple of nights ago, and I said it on the radio even before he hit the home run, he worked his way to a fastball count. He worked his way to a 3-1 count. When you do that, you know, the pitcher's in trouble. Now you get a chance to sit back there in the batter's box and wait for a fastball, and you know once he throws a fastball, you can get to it. The other thing, there was a runner on at third base. Dylan Moore had hit a double. He stole third. He was on at third with nobody out. Now, the situation called for just get the ball in the air. Put the ball in the air. You've got to get that runner home from third base. You've got to play good, sound, fundamental baseball as a hitter and in defense. The idea is get the ball in the air, get Dylan home from third base with less than two outs. So I said, he's going to get the ball in the air. You got to get that RBI, and you got to get Dylan home. Well, he waits for a 3-1 fastball. Not only did he hit the ball in the air, Stacey, he hit the ball halfway up the batter's eye in center field for a two-run home run. And I said, he stayed with the process. He didn't try to do too much. He didn't try to hit the ball out of the ballpark. But when you do that, good things happen. He's so strong, he is going to have his share of home runs and hit the ball out of the ballpark. So I saw the process. And as long as you see that, you see a kid working on that type of that part of his game, he is going to be just fine. He's going to have a great career in the big leagues. But that made me very happy. I said, when you try to do the little things, big things happen. And that's what he did in that at bat. And that makes me feel really good about what this kid is going to accomplish.
Love it.
He is the legendary Rick Riz. Rick, Jake and I cannot wait to see you at the park. You're the GOAT. You got to take credit for that. Yes, voice of the Seattle Mariners. Jake and I can't wait to see you at the park. And I know that fans everywhere cannot wait to hear you welcome us all back home to T-Mobile and all back home to baseball. We are so excited. Going to be a really emotional and exciting opening day. So thank you so much for joining us, Rick. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Stacy. You're welcome, Jake. Anytime. Yeah, I can't wait to Thursday night, April the 1st at 6 o'clock game time. 5 o'clock, we go on the air and, you know, talk about, hey, let's get our lives back to normal again. Let's have some fun.
Yes.
You know, last year we saw 15,000 smiling, frozen faces at the ballpark with all those cardboard cutouts. I had seven of my, friend Kelly, her dog Cash, and my cat Sparky was out there. And, you know, we had all these faces out there and animals and pets and everything. Now we're going to have people out there. We're going to have fans out there cheering for these guys, and they're going to have a lot to cheer about. So I can't wait. This is the most excited I've been going to spring training in many, many years. I've been doing this for 47 years,
wow.
39 in the big leagues, and this was the most excited because of the future and the hope that we have with these kids on this ball club and the other guys, the veterans coming back, you know, as well. So, Stacey, it's going to be a lot of fun. And, Jake, I can't wait for opening night. I know the fans feel the same way.
We can't wait. Oh, it's going to be fun. Thank you so much, Rick.
Thanks, Rick.
Only got
anytime, guys. Thank you, Steve.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Jake.
Only got a couple minutes left here. Every time I mess up anything, I look up and Curtis is just shaking his head slowly.
No, it's fine.
The disappointment of Curtis and you at times is the greatest.
I feel the same way about the Husky basketball program as I do.
As you do about me.
Yeah, when Stacey flubs something or like turns her mic on too soon. So you could do so much better.
The next favorite of this show today, because the Mariners are going to be taking over.
No, this isn't a favorite.
We have a hard out.
No.
Oh, Stacey's got to get us on the hard out.
I don't like it.
And Curtis's reminders are always, Stacey, don't mess it up.
Just so you guys know, in the final minute of the show, Curtis will be in my ear while I'm talking going, 15 seconds, 10 seconds.
And he gets Stacey so rattled.
Oh, God.
And I love it.
We only have about 3 minutes left here. Really quickly, I want to start with a fun question because I want to take a look at some of what Rick had to say. Really high on Evan White, by the way. Obviously excited about Kelnick, someone everyone is excited for. But, I mean, there was that one moment where he said, Jared Kelnick's the real deal. I don't know that anyone needed to be, like, convinced per se. I think everyone's excitement, all-time high. But it also means something to hear Rick say that.
Mm-hmm.
About Jared Kelnick.
No, it does. It means a lot. And, you know, one of the other things, too, is that when he was talking about Evan White and his approach, like, that's real baseball, right? So when you talk about how do you know the development of these guys, are they thinking fundamentally at the plate, right? And someone like Evan White, who really struggles or struggled this last year, is he focused on just trying to make contact? Is he focused on getting the next level of not just contact, but all right, in that 3-1 situation, runner on third, is he able to get the job done and be able to hit that pop-up? And because of his power, he ends up hitting a home run, which is even better. But, you know, he was really trying and focusing on that moment and being able to execute, right? Those are the little things that you look for. And hopefully we will be able to see that come together this season for a lot of these guys. And there's a lot of candidates, as we've said before. We talked about, you know, Curtis had a great question last week of who has more pressure, Justin Dunn or Evan White. I think there's going to be a lot of guys like that. I put J.P. Crawford on that list, right? Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
How many times have we talked about, oh, look at all these shortstops out there that we could upgrade with? Well, J.P. Crawford, Gold Glover, is looking out there going, hey, I'm pretty talented, and I'm talented enough to be the shortstop of the future during this rebuilding, you know, during the not just the rebuilding process, but actually when it's time to compete and win games, he's got to perform and be consistent at the plate, right? So I think there's lots of guys like that littered on this roster, and it's going to make it really fun and very interesting, and I think it's going to make it compelling baseball for Mariners fans as you watch this transition unfold, and you're going to start to see that transition happen from the rebuild, right, and tearing things down to now actually building this group into a winner. And we're finally at that stage where we're getting to the other side of this. Now, we're not, I wouldn't say that we're super close and this is the year that you're going to get to the playoffs necessarily, but this is the year that you really start to see that turning point of the focus being on winning and not just solely on development alone.
Now, we're also finally getting back to a ballpark to watch live baseball for the first time in a year.
Yes.
30 seconds, my final question here for you guys. The first thing you're buying, like the very first thing you're getting. Oh. Is it a hot dog? Is it
helmet
garlic fries?
Nachos.
Cold drink?
Helmet nachos?
Helmet nachos.
Nachos
helmet.
Are overrated. But
Not the helmet nachos.
They are overrated.
Those helmet nachos are extremely filling.
Like 25% of nachos are fine.
Stacey, just hold on just a second.
And
okay?
T-Mobile Park helmet nachos
don't you dare
are absolutely in that 25%.
Don't you dare.
You haven't lived.
Now, garlic fries, I'm not a big garlic fry guy. That's just me, though. I love the smell in the air. It makes you feel like you're at T-Mobile Park. It'll definitely be a hot dog for me.
Garlic fries so far tops on the Fizzy Hard Seltzer text line. I think I'm going hot dog too, because that feels
if you want to go extravagant, like you want to lay it down, you go for those
the lobster roll.
Yes.
If you're fancy,
out in center field,
yeah.
Those
oh,
are
I'm sorry.
So good.
If your driver dropped you off in your Rolls Royce,
now you want to talk about the price on those bad boys? That's a whole nother conversation.
Oh, it's worth it though.
But they're so
it's
good.
Worth it.
They're so
it's
good.
Absolutely worth it. Well, it's a lobster roll. Come on, guys. All right, we have your chance to open the gates to T-Mobile Park on opening day. Do not go anywhere. That's coming up next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
It is 30 past the hour, which means it's time for us to open the gates on our phone lines and qualify another listener. Call 206-421-3776 or 866-979-3776 in 1 minute if you're listening on the radio, or in 30 seconds if you're listening on the stream, on your smartphone, on your smart speaker. We'll be taking caller number...
In honor of Drew Brees, number 9.
Whoa, we'll be okay. Taking caller number 9, who will be entered to win the grand prize of 2 tickets to opening day and the right to open the gates to welcome fans back to T-Mobile Park. Your next chance to win comes later today with Wyman and Bob following the Mariners game. All right. Once again, just so you guys have it, that number, 206-421-3776 or 866-979-3776, caller number 9. Let's get to 4 down territory.
This is 4 down territory, brought to you by Genuine Auto Glass.
With Jake and Stacy.
You live for moments like this. Time for us to step up and take it.
First down, Jake. Why should Seahawks fans still pound the table for a Carlos Dunlap reunion?
Because although I believe Benson Mayoa and I believe that Kerry Hyder Jr. are good additions, very good additions to bring back here to Seattle, I don't think that you can bank on those two guys to be the leaders in bringing together a very, very good, potent pass rush. And it reminds me, I think it's an upgraded version of what they tried to roll out a season ago, with Bruce Irvin and Benson Mayoa being your two leading pass rushers. I think Kerry Hyder is certainly an upgrade there. But we talked about it from a positive standpoint yesterday. If you want to look at it from a critical, like the other side, the other lens of this, is that Benson Mayoa, when he had to play over 50% of his snaps, he did not produce at the same level as when he only had to play somewhere in the range of 35 to 40% of his snaps. And that was because you had Carlos Dunlap that came in. He performed much better as a rotational pass rusher. Kerry Hyder Jr., although he had a fantastic year, and Stacey, when I mean I watched the film and I fell in love with this guy, like I'm like, man, this is what I want. If I'm a guy who's on that roster, I want to play with that guy. Like, give me what this guy has. He plays with an incredible level of energy and feistiness and all that. But in this league, he's 30 years old. He has been wildly, wildly inconsistent, Stacey. There's been only two seasons that he has generated those types of numbers. And guess who's been wildly consistent throughout their entire career?
Carlos Dunlap.
Carlos Dunlap. I can bank on Carlos Dunlap coming in and producing at a high level each and every single year. Because guess what? That is who he is. And that is what he's done in this league. Benson Mayowa, Kerry Hyder Jr., although I like them and I think they're great pieces and they're good football players, I think they'll be good, really, really good fits here in Seattle. Obviously, we know what Benson can do. But I think it brings that next level of insurance when you still add Carlos Dunlap to the table, and you're going to make those two guys even better, in my opinion.
Second down. Stacey, who would you like to see lead the Seahawks in sacks in 2021?
Now, it would be great if it was Kerry Hyder, because it's not like he's there on a short-term deal. Technically, he's not a one-year rental. He signed, what was it, a three-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that I wouldn't like to see a veteran do it, but what I really like to see for Seattle for a bit of a change of pace since the departure of Frank Clark, I'd like to see one of the young guys that they're going to have on a rookie deal end up leading the team in sacks. I think the best thing you can have for this defensive line, obviously it would be for Kerry Hyder to play well because you're paying him. And it would be for Benson Mayowa to play well and Jaron Reed to play well. But who I'd really love to see leading the team in sacks, a guy like Darryl Taylor or maybe Alton Robinson. Let's say it's one of those guys, especially Darryl Taylor. You almost took him in the first round. He was almost your first round pick in 2020. Like this, John Schneider told Danny and Gallant he considered it. They ended up going with Jordan Brooks, probably thought he might not be available, and that maybe they'd have a better shot at getting Darryl Taylor. But I think they also were maybe surprised that they even were able to land Darryl Taylor when they did. So he was a get to them. Like, he was a steal. That's a guy that you want really producing for you. I'm not saying he can't. Fortunately, we just haven't seen it, right? Like, it's way too early to say he's a bust, to say there's anything wrong, because he hasn't had a chance to prove himself. He hasn't had a chance to get out there. I would love, if I'm a Seahawks fan, to see him be the one that's leading your team in sacks, because I want to know that you've got next year's answer to who's going to be your top pass rusher locked up.
Third down. Jake, are the Seahawks done addressing the offensive line this offseason?
I'm not fully convinced that they are. So when Michael Sean Dugar asked the question of how is Russ feeling with the fact that the Seahawks are bringing back 80% of the offensive line after the addition of Ethan Posick, the re-signing of Ethan Posick, I'm not fully ready to be convinced that that's what they're going to end up with. Now, is Ethan Posick maybe going to be the answer and he will be the starter on day one? Possibly, but there's still a lot left in this offseason. One, you have the draft still remaining. Two, Ethan Posick's contract was not a contract that is one that you can't afford not to play this guy, right? It screams competition at the center position. And I also want to put out there that Brady Henderson has been all over this, Brady Henderson of ESPN, about June 1st. He has said it multiple times that June 1st might be another quote-unquote bloodbath situation out there in free agency for NFL teams, that there's going to be a whole another string of cutdowns that you see after June 1st, and the Seahawks might have a lot of players available to them at that time, and they'll see. I'm sure they are anticipating some candidates that might be available at that time. I don't know exactly at what positions, but I still think it's very early on in this process to assume that Ethan Posick is for sure, without question, going to be your starter day one. And I would love for the Seahawks to continue to keep looking through those options, continue to keep looking to add competition for Ethan Posick and Kyle Fuller, who is on this roster currently. So I do not think that they are necessarily done. I think that they're going to continue to evaluate the process and see if they can add competition along the way.
Fourth down. Jake, should we expect a heavy rotation at running back this season?
No, I do not. Last year, we saw a heavy rotation between Chris Carson and Carlos Hyde and really trying to split the reps. And I don't think you're going to see the same thing. I think you're going to reevaluate this, what happened last year. And you did everything you possibly could to try and keep Chris Carson healthy. But I think at some point, you got to look at it and you say, well, look, we signed this guy to a two-year deal. 3 years in total, but really a two-year contract. And we are going to let this thing ride out. We are going to let Chris Carson dictate the tempo and which how many reps he's going to get. And I fully expect Chris Carson to be a 1,000-yard back yet again. It'll be great to have Rashad Penny behind you. You got DJ Dallas. You got Alex Collins and Travis Homer. There's competition on the back end of the running back room. But I don't think you're going to be trying to split adequate reps between Chris Carson and Rashad Penny. I think that Rashad Penny is going to be in the role of, hey, if Chris Carson needs a breather and needs to get on the sideline, you're in. But without that being the case, I expect Chris Carson to be out there on the field for the majority of the snaps when he is healthy.
All right. We have our winner that is entered into this contest from this hour. It is Ryan in Snohomish. Ryan joining us right now. First of all, congrats. You are entered for the Open the Gates contest. Tell us why you deserve to win.
Well, Stacy, the last year my daughter has nonstop been saying, Dad, can we go to a Mariner game? Can we go to a Mariner game? I'm like, well, I hope so. I'm really hoping so, sweetheart. And she just turned 8 last week, and I can't think of a better birthday gift to give her.
No, there certainly isn't one. Well, best of luck, man. Best of luck. And thanks so much for calling in and listening. We appreciate it.
Yep. Congratulations.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jake. Thanks, Stacy.
All right, that was Ryan in Snohomish. You guys, we are wrapping up the show here pretty quick because we got some Mariners coming up, live Mariners game at 1 p.m., so about 10 minutes left here, and we are going to turn to you guys for the last 10 minutes. Text your questions, any question, to 710-710. That is the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line, and we're turning to you guys for what I need to know next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
What I need to know, send your questions in to 710-710. That's a Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. What I need to know from the 206, would you rather open the T-Mobile gates for opening day? That's our contest, by the way. Or release the Kraken on their first game? Opening the gates is going to be pretty sweet. Yeah. I am excited for the Kraken, but that's a pretty sweet contest.
We might be biased on this, but I think the Kraken will be really cool. But to me, there's more sentiment into opening the gates for the Mariners. This will be the first action for a lot of fans to be able to get to a live sporting event here in this town. And so I think for that reason, it's going to be opening the gates.
Now, where in T-Mobile Field, for both of you guys, objectively the best place to sit and watch a game?
It's really tough. For me, I'm a big fan of the first baseline.
Yeah, one of the baselines.
Yeah, for me, it's the first baseline and just being a little bit past the first baseline where you're in a legitimate area where you could get a foul ball, right? So that, to me, has always been where I've enjoyed the game.
Like between
the
base and the foul pole?
Yes.
Yeah. That area?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, I've never actually watched a game behind home plate, directly behind home plate.
It's an experience. You've never been to the Diamond Club?
No.
There's people in this building that can get you in the Diamond Club.
I need to talk to them because I've never been before. And I have always wondered what that experience would be like because I thought both of you were going to say that.
No.
It's an incredible vantage point. The speed of the game really, it hits you at that level. It's like,
yeah.
Holy cow, these guys are throwing it incredibly hard. You can hear the zip of the pitches.
509 says the Diamond Club is unreal, and the 360 says it's sweet. That's the best
also
place to watch
the
game.
Yeah, also
in a
suite, very
get your
spot.
Chicken tenders.
The chicken tendies.
Yeah, your chicken tenders, your beer, your nachos in a helmet, whatever it is you're eating, Curtis.
Exactly.
And you chill. You chill out. Let's see. What I need to know What is the cap hit of Penny's fifth year option, and would you sign it? So the cap hit is $4.52 million to use the fifth year option in 2022. Would you guys do it?
No. Zero reason to use it. I mean, as of right now, I don't have a reason to want to pay that money for Rashad Penny, and I don't think you would need to if he was to go on the open market tomorrow. You could get him back for less than that. So, I mean, it's obviously we're not at that point yet. They're not going to be making that decision until after the season. So it's too early to say that, because he could have a major bounce back year, and he could be a great complement to Chris Carson. And maybe we'll finally get to see that first round talent and ability that the Seahawks saw. But as of right now, not a chance.
Excuse me? Someone said there are mini corn dogs in the Diamond Club.
Yeah. There's a buffet, and you can get food ordered. You can get food brought to your seat.
Yeah, that sounds...
It's an experience.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Curtis, I'm going to direct this one to you from the 360. If Trevor Bauer were a Mariner, would you still hate him?
Not as much. Ooh, he would still get
would you
under,
hate him at all?
He would still get under my skin, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think, even if he's on your team, I don't think he doesn't annoy you. Like, he's not, to me, he's not like a Richard Sherman where he, you know, the trash talk and everything that Sherm did during the Legion of Boom days. Everybody would love to have that player on your team, and probably annoys everybody else. Trevor Bauer and a lot of things that he just says are just straight annoying. Up annoying.
Now, is there a player you guys don't like that you actually would be 100% behind if he was with your team? Where it's like when he's on another team, you're like, ugh! But you would actually be all in.
Sticking with baseball, probably like Alex Bregman.
Okay, yeah,
I
see
don't
that.
Like him at
That's
all. But if he were the Mariners' third baseman, yeah, all for him.
Justin Verlander as of late.
Oh, yeah, that's another good one.
Justin Verlander is pretty annoying. And some of the things that he has said, especially in recent, since he's been a Houston Astro, yeah, that guy really gets under my skin. But would I love him pitching in a Mariners uniform? Yeah, probably. I'd probably really, really like that.
Martin in the 509 needs to know, how well do you handle spicy foods? I like spicy food.
I like it, too.
I like spicy foods, but there is a different level that people can go to that I can't step up to the plate on.
So, like, say you're ordering Thai. Do you go three stars, four stars, five stars, two stars?
Wow, you can do that?
I usually go four.
Okay.
My mom goes five.
I would probably be a three, I would guess. I've never been in that situation. I've never put stars to the spiciness.
What?
So, no one's asked me. I've had Thai before, but no one's asked me about the spiciness level in stars. What restaurant are you going to?
Any restaurant.
That's kind of standard operating procedure, yeah.
I didn't know.
So maybe they
I
are giving you the option.
Maybe not. Maybe they're just sticking me with the...
Like, they take one look at this guy and like, he looks like he might fall for
this
some
This
Twitter
is a one-star, dude. Yeah. He looks like... we can sell him a shoe line pretty easily.
This guy's a definite two-star.
All right. This has been Jake and Stacey. That'll do it for us today, because we've got live baseball on a Thursday afternoon. The Mariners taking on the Oakland A's next, right here on 710 ESPN Seattle. So do not go anywhere.